Well, here we are in October, a Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and we, as always, are looking to organizations across the state of Connecticut that are providing support, safety, and new opportunities for victims of domestic and family violence. We're so pleased to have Dr. Amanda Nardozzi with us. She is Executive Director of Safe Haven of Greater Waterbury. At this organization, their vision is a world free of suffering. They work to empower survivors of violence to rebuild their lives with dignity and hope, and together, working with them, you can experience a difference and a better life. I want to get into the conversation here, but first, we want to just clue you in on a great exhibit that's opening up this week. Continuum of Care is pleased to announce that its annual resident art show is happening, and the opening ceremony is Monday, October 13th, tomorrow, from noon till 3, throughout the first floor of their Legion Avenue, New Haven corporate offices. The various types of art in the show have been created by Continuum's clients, people who are challenged with mental illnesses, intellectual disabilities, addiction, or homelessness. If you'd like to attend, it's free and open to the public. Parking is available at 249 Legion Avenue or at other lots in the area. If you'd like more information, just go to continuumct.org. All right. Dr. Nardozzi, thank you so much for joining us here, our first program in our series for 2025 and Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Tell us a little bit about Safe Haven of Greater Waterbury.
Well, good morning, and thank you for having me again this year.
Sure.
So Safe Haven of Greater Waterbury has been in existence since 1978, and we have moved a couple of times, but we're down our main office located at 29 Central Avenue here in Waterbury. So we provide crisis intervention, counseling services, legal advocacy, emergency shelter for victims of domestic violence and sexual violence.
And what is your you are a Connecticut Coalition Against Domestic Violence Network member. What is your kind of jurisdictional area?
So we cover the 13 surrounding communities of the Greater Waterbury area. As a member of the CCADV umbrella, we partner with there's a total of 18 of us agencies here in Connecticut that are kind of broken up by region to provide those counseling crisis services and emergency shelter for people who are fleeing domestic violence or have been in a domestic violence relationship. And we work really well together, providing, you know, comprehensive care and services.
Tell us a little bit about what you're seeing on the front lines there in Greater Waterbury.
We are very busy, but that doesn't mean we're not serving people. If you come in and you need assistance or you call and need assistance, we are here. We have people available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It just seems like there's been a tremendous uptick in the amount of violence, not just in our city, but also the surrounding communities. We have seen an increase in the calls from law enforcement who are conducting lethality assessments on scene of domestic violence calls. So we're really trying to get the word out there through community education, partnering with our local police departments and other local nonprofits to not only educate people that we are here for you or for anybody that needs assistance, but that we are here to help and there are services available no matter how dire you think your situation is.
Over the years that For the People has been talking with folks like you and folks in the coalition, we've seen the idea of lethality assessments come and take root and grow to being a critical tool. And I don't think we can talk enough because my understanding is when people are engaged in domestic violence situations and that kind of terrorism, it's hard for them to trust and sometimes to even think straight when they're talking, especially when law enforcement may be intervening for the first time. Can you speak to folks that are listening about the lethality assessment and why it's so critically important for them to participate actively and honestly when they are going through this questionnaire?
Yeah, sure. This is a critical tool that was developed quite some time ago. It is now every police department in the state of Connecticut, including the state police, use this tool on scene of a domestic violence situation, where once it's safe to do so, they conduct a screening assessment with the victim on scene and can immediately contact that victim to services in their area of the state. So it doesn't matter if you're in the northwest corner or the southeast corner, there is a hotline number that pertains to your particular geographical area. The law enforcement officer will conduct that screening, dial in, talk to one of our counselors that's there 24 hours a day, and go through what the situation is. And we are hoping that they've actually pass that phone off to the victim and allow that victim to talk to the counselor directly while they're on scene of that incident and get them immediately connected to services, safety plan, make sure that they have resources, let them know that what our services are here and that we are available 24/7, and really kind of help them plan and navigate moving forward from the incident, whether they need medical care, whether they need legal assistance, really kind of working through their whole situation. So it does put law enforcement and that victim right into services immediately in order to get them safe.
Let's also, give credit to the men and women professionals in law enforcement. This is not the business of a couple of decades ago. There has been such an immense trajectory over the past 20 to 30 years in terms of both the role that frontline law enforcement and the judicial branch are playing in domestic violence cases, but also the expertise that they now have 20, 30 years strong in terms of training and best practices. What's your view on where we stand right now in terms of your partners in law enforcement and the judiciary?
So our partners in law enforcement, I can't say enough, as somebody who's come from the law enforcement field for many, many years and then transitioned to this position. The officers that are out there on the front lines do an amazing job in dealing with the crisis situation and getting those individuals connected to services. I have done a lot of advocating for our survivors for months and years about the need for change in our judicial system and the accountability that comes with domestic violence calls. Just taking, for instance, this last case that we've had here in Waterbury, the double homicide, that individual had been arrested numerous times and was waiting sentencing for strangulation of his partner. This person was allowed to be out on the street. So could this have been prevented? What is our judicial system doing to ensure victims are the priority and we are not supporting, reoffenders or, those who are escalating in violence?
Does this involve legislative work and even something resembling lobbying on behalf of organizations like yours that are, trying to do your best, given the situation you're saddled with right now from a legal perspective?
Yeah, we do a lot of lobbying throughout the year on different bills, depending on what's coming up. This past year, we were able to get the financial coercion bill passed. So if somebody is forced to take on debt in their domestic violence relationship, there are some hoops to jump through in order to prove that that debt wasn't taken on by the survivor, but that debt can be dismissed by the financial institutions, with that proof. And that's something that we would work with a survivor for. But definitely a lot of lobbying. I'm in regular contact with our elected officials, both locally, our state senators, our representatives, our Congress representatives, to ensure that the needs of our survivors are being met. And the legislation is, super important to ensuring that they are able to live their lives safely.
as I have been told and counseled before by individuals like yourself, Dr. Nardozzi, a lot of times people who remain in abusive relationships are doing that because they don't see a way out of it. They maybe they think there's some, maybe they're even getting repetitive messaging from organizations like Safe Haven that there is an opportunity for a change, a new chapter, a new life. But getting this information believed and getting the people to take action to get the help and support they need, I guess, is the biggest challenge. You mentioned the lethality survey that individuals will go through with first responder law enforcement if they make a call for help to in a domestic violence situation. Can you walk us through some of the critical next steps for people who may want to make that call, but just have that tremendous fear of the unknown?
And we see that every day. It is a regular issue for people who may not be able to leave their abusive relationship. And there's a lot of stigma that surrounds that issue. You know, there's, you know, why don't they just leave? Why don't they just leave? You know, there could be a variety of factors, from threats and fear, you know, to being killed, to, you know, there's financial abuse. They have children. They may not have access to resources. We've seen that a lot where, you know, we have individuals that have never even had a bank account because the individual that they're with controls all the finances. So how do you leave? So that first step really is making contact with one of our agencies under that CCADV umbrella in your area, or you can call the statewide Safe Connect hotline to get connected to the one in your area, and just talking to somebody. We are here to answer any questions that you may have about what your options are, to help you safety plan. Maybe for this individual, staying with the abuser might be the right thing for them right now. And it may take some big incident for them to actually want to leave or be able to leave. And every situation is different, but the critical piece is just making that contact with an agency or an advocate at one of our agencies, whether it be Safe Haven or one of the other partner agencies. They can even go online and make a connection through the chat feature. So there's plenty of information on our websites, if you're looking for that information, or you could just make the call. But those first steps really are safety planning, like how can we help you stay safe in your situation if you're unable to leave right now? And again, leaving may not be the right option, but they do need to know that there are alternatives. There are safe houses located everywhere. You know, we've relocated people to Puerto Rico to be with family. We've relocated to Florida, you know, so it depends on what your resources look like. You know, we can help you do that, but it's just simply a phone call or walking into our office and meeting with somebody immediately.
And if you want to make that call here in Connecticut, toll free, it's 888-774-2900. And as Dr. Nardozzi mentioned, you can go to safehavengw.org for Greater Waterbury, safehavengw.org. You can scroll and hit the button for text support if you're in a position where you might not be able to speak on the phone or have access to a phone. Dr. Nardozzi, a couple of critical tools here. Another thing that has expanded so effectively over the past decade or two in terms of the many different and safer ways that victims can reach out.
Yeah, so if they're not able to call, you know, texting certainly is an option. You know, chatting with an advocate live 24/7. Emailing, we all have access to email in our agencies, or even reaching out to somebody that you trust to make that call on your behalf to ask those questions. You know, if it's not safe for you to call, it's not safe for you to text. Even on our website, we have quick exits that you're able to get out of that website really quick. So there's no follow through for that person to see what kind of website you were on. You know, reaching out to somebody you trust and saying, like, I'm in this situation, I don't know what to do. Would you be able to make a call for me on my behalf? And what are my options? And we can certainly provide that information or find a time when it's safe to have that conversation.
It's also important to reinforce that Safe Haven and your partner organizations across the state have dedicated special expertise for children involved in domestic violence situations, particular resources for our LGBTQ plus populations and communities, a real catchment for individuals in crisis, and very much appreciate your input here as our first guest during our 2025 Domestic Violence Awareness Month series. Dr. Amanda Nardozzi is with Safe Haven of Greater Waterbury. Once again, if you are in a domestic violence situation and you can utilize a phone, you can call toll free 888-774-2900. Our telecommunicators at all of our emergency dispatch centers across the state of Connecticut are trained in protocols to help you. If you call 911 to get you the help you need, there's text support, chat support, and all the support that you can enjoy, a comprehensive wrapping of everything that you'll need to see you through from your situation to your next chapter. Safe Haven of Greater Waterbury's website, safehavengw.org. Dr. Nardozzi, thank you so much for your time today. And any last words, Dr. Nardozzi?
Yeah, just that we do not turn clients away. If you are in need of services, it doesn't matter how you identify. We have shelters available. We have services available. Just you need to reach out, make that phone call, that text. You may not realize you're in a situation and family members do or friends. Sometimes it takes people a little bit to realize. If you have any questions of whether or not what you're going through is domestic violence, reach out and talk to an advocate.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.